from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Parkinson Spiegel Show.
I mean, you guys are the best team in Chicago. Everybody knows that. We all know that. The afternoon show is not afraid of anything, really. Yeah. But
Afternoons on the Score.
My lawyers and attorney and, you know, everybody, you know, the head of the Bears, everybody up there up top is handling that. I'm excited. Yeah, I'm excited to be able to get back. You know, we've been training. We had a little break, training, getting ready. And then, you know, you start getting to the end of the break and the training and you're ready to go, really excited. So I'm really excited, ready to go. Really happy to be back in Chicago and to get this thing going.
So Caleb Williams is signed, sealed, and delivered, we're pretty sure. Tom Pelissero has it. Schefter has it. Now it's out there on Pro Football Talk. And I have not been concerned. The first practice is Saturday. You got a little worried beforehand.
Right, and what you're saying now is that it's not just agreed to terms, which broke a day or two ago, but it's actual signed, inked a contract.
That is what the Bears have still not put it out there.
There's a Roma Dunze press release and a story on ChicagoBears.com. Not yet for Caleb.
There's not yet for it's not yet from the Bears. And now Tom Pelissero, 29 minutes ago, now final and fully agreed to, the Bears have a deal with number one overall pick Caleb Williams per source. So that's pretty damn definitive. This is what Mike Florio said earlier today with Dan and Layla. And again, this isn't about fear-mongering. It's about the questions that a smart young quarterback in this day and age are going to ask and the boundaries that they are going to try to push.
I'll tell you what, you still have to worry about Caleb Williams. Although it isn't a huge worry, I've been doing extra work just for you. I wore this thing for you. I've been making some phone calls and sending some texts. My understanding is the contract isn't signed. They expect it to be. They're haggling over language. And what I think they're getting into is a situation where the lawyer that's handling this isn't as versed in the nuances of the contract as an experienced and competent agent would be. And I think there's some snags they're trying to work out. And one thing I'm told is there was an effort made to get the Bears to agree not to use the franchise tag on Caleb Williams after he would finish the fifth year of his contract, assuming they pick up the option. And that did not go anywhere. But that just gives you a flavor of what they were trying to do and had every right to try to do, given the leverage you have when you've got a great quarterback like Caleb Williams and you wanted to come in with the right possible vibe. Effort to get rid of the franchise tag failed. Other language still being haggled. Deal has not been signed, but there's no reason at this point to think it won't be.
Wait, so he is not signed as of right now?
Contract isn't signed. Agreement basically in hand, haggling over language, contract not signed as of right now. That was my latest information as of about 10 minutes ago. You know, we've talked in the past about some of the things that there can be haggling over. Cash flow on the signing bonus. My understanding is he's going to get it all at the same time, not far from whenever he does sign it. What it takes to void the remaining guaranteed language. I don't know that the lawyer was sensitive to that issue. Offsets on remaining guarantees. I don't know that the lawyer was sensitive to that issue. So there's still some back and forth over the actual language. And again, they tried to haggle. And this is a new one that I hadn't really thought of before because I hadn't heard of anyone trying to do it. Getting an agreement in this rookie contract to not use the franchise tag when the 5 years ends. We've seen agreements with veteran free agents to not use the franchise tag. There's nothing in the CBA that I'm aware of that would prevent it in a rookie deal. That was unsuccessful, but they may be trying to get something. You know, you try to save face The lawyer's trying to justify his hourly fee. They want to feel like they got a win here, and maybe the Bears will come up with something to let them say that you know, they pushed and they pushed and they got a little something back.
Fascinating. And for anybody who doesn't know or realize, the Ravens franchised Lamar Jackson before giving him a new contract just last year. Dak Prescott, Drew Brees, Kirk Cousins, twice all quarterbacks who received the franchise tag.
Yeah, it is a mechanism that is team-friendly that players don't like. It pays you the average of the top 10 highest-paid guys at your position, fully guaranteed, but only for 1 year. So guys would say, well, pay me that money per year for 4 years instead of just one. And so it's a mechanism that the team prefers.
Look at Caleb, man. Look at Caleb trying to get any little thing he could possibly get, even after the NFL has clamped down and tried to make these first round contracts just boilerplate.
Yeah. This doesn't bother me 1%. It really doesn't. He signed, reportedly. We still don't have it confirmed, but reportedly now signed. He's asking questions. It reminds me of a toddler pushing the boundaries. Oh, it's like, can I jump off the couch? Can I jump off the arm of the couch? Can I jump off the mantle of the fireplace? It's like, no.
Oh, no.
Like that one would be a problem, buddy. Like, that would be a problem.
Have you ever thought of telling him, hey, if you can get up there, then you can jump?
Right. It'd be tricky. That you're ready to be a parent.
You're right. It reminds me of Ruben saying, I'd like 9:30 bedtime. Well, how about 10? Well, how about 10:30? And continuing to negotiate. Some parents like when their children learn to negotiate and push against those boundaries a little bit. You're training them for life on some level.
Yeah, it's just, you should ask questions. You should, hey, is there something here? Is there something there? Is there a little something for the effort, whatever the case
may be? You
know
what? You know how cool it is that you said we should ask questions? We must ask questions. In honor of this frequency, the old WMAQ, we must ask questions here on 670 back in the day.
Yes, absolutely.
Let's go with we must ask questions.
I love that. It's just, he really hasn't disrupted anything yet. He really hasn't.
Because he's not a bag.
But he's
that's part of it.
He's pushing and asking and trying, which gives us a little bit of a window into some of the ideas that are going to come up in the next collective bargaining agreement, right? You think that there's going to be, the NFLPA will have that on their list of things that they will either ask for or just put there that they'll be ready to concede? Can we lose the ability to franchise a quarterback who's in the top 10? Something like that.
I mean, his
top 15.
Players have hated the franchise tag for forever. Caleb's not the first guy to not like a franchise tag. I mean, Dak, the reason why he has more leverage than any player in the NFL right now is when he signed his four-year, $160 million contract the last time, which this is the fourth and final year of, he got a no-trade clause and a no-tag clause. So if he plays this season out,
man,
he is just an unrestricted free agent, and the Cowboys just they just lose him.
You're extremely well-versed in Cowboys and Dak Prescott information.
Thank you.
I wonder why, Steve.
I don't know.
Thank you.
I don't know, but that was impressive.
But I'm just saying.
I don't know why we didn't leave the show with that.
Could have.
You know, A block. Cowboys, Lakers, LeBron, Aaron Rodgers.
We got Bronny takes coming later. Uh-huh. It's all here for
Boy,
you.
Boy, imagine if Caleb was in a walking boot, imagine what would have happened.
Someone in an airport bar just spilled their Tito's all over themselves.
That's right.
And it was like a dentist office.
It was Mike Pereira. That's who it was.
That's right.
Okay.
Damn straight.
Yeah.
So he's not the first person to say, hey, can I get a no tag clause? It's just not something that's ever been given to a rookie before.
Sure, but
so he's just asking. He's like, oh, Dak got it. Why can't I?
But he's not just any rookie. He's the number one quarterback. You know what? In a year where there were a lot of quarterbacks, and he was so clearly and far away the number one. So I could see, you know, them stretching some of those parameters in the CBA ask. Top five quarterbacks, you know, or first three quarterbacks drafted, you're not allowed to franchise. Something like that,
man,
to try to give the cream of the crop a little bit more.
Maybe. But I think they want the team to always have the leverage. Like they want the Bears to have Caleb Williams, for as long as possible. If the Bears cannot tag Caleb Williams after year five, then he can just leave after 5 years. And they want you to be able to keep him for 6 or 7 years. I mean, because like you said, Cousins got the tag twice. The league is there to protect the teams, and the union, in theory, is there to protect the players.
And advocate for the players, yeah.
But the reason why the league has such a thumb over the players is because there's 31 owners of 32 teams, and they're all the same. They're all billionaires. Whereas the players...
Yeah, 31 owners, because the Packers are not owned.
Yeah. So it's 31 billionaires, and then there's 1,500 players. And some of them are like Dak Prescott and Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers. And some of them are Velus Jones and Tory Taylor. So that union's not going to be like, we're gonna give up a bunch for the number one pick quarterback on a rookie contract and not be able to get franchise tagged. Like they try to represent for 1,500 players in a union that make a whole bunch of different money, and they can't hold out.
Uh-huh.
Like baseball players, because the length of the career is so short, the athletic prime is so short, the contracts aren't guaranteed.
All right, so
there's not going to be a work stoppage. So that's why the owners have it better than the players.
I think most people probably don't have a problem with Caleb asking for stuff and guys trying to get whatever they can, especially in a sport where the average NFL career is 3.3 years as of the last data, or is it data that's available? What's the funkiest? What's the most interesting thing that you ever asked for in a contract? And I wonder, like, there's people out there in different realms of professional life.
Yeah.
Were you able to get something great in a contract because you had just a little bit of leverage? And I hope that you tried out there, listener. I hope if you were up for a deal and they were about to sign you to a new thing. I don't know how many of our listeners actually work in terms of a contract, but I know that I've asked for a signing bonus a bunch of different times.
Yeah, right. Get a little cash influx.
Yeah, I'm a little cash up front. You know, that would help. I've got some issues here. You know, as I sign this, do you think you might be able to give me a little bit of a money bonus up front? I think it's something they used to do.
Yeah, well, that's the truth of it.
Because I didn't get it.
We're not in the heyday of the local radio big bucks going around.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I tried to get a guaranteed ticket and perks package.
Uh-huh.
Like, I wanted I wanted the Cubs suite for a game,
sure.
The Bulls suite for a game, and like a perk package.
Good ask.
And they said no.
Uh-huh.
But they said you are an important employee. You will get priority access if you ask but we're not going to give you a suite which we use for clients.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, that's fair.
I did
ask for that, and it didn't happen.
I had a moment at a moment where I asked for a certain number of tickets to games.
Yeah.
And I got them, but then the job and the boss and everything kind of changed pretty radically.
It's tough, man.
So it goes away.
We're not in that. You used to be. I'm not at all. I never really was in that era.
I just caught a little bit at the tail end. This would be a fun topic to ask some of our radio elders who we are fortunate enough to have as friends who listen to the show. Jonathan Brandmeier. I wonder what the best perk that Johnny B ever asked for and got. Kevin Matthews.
Do you want to call Johnny right now and see if he'll do it?
Call Johnny right now. I wonder what Johnny B was able to ask for in a contract. They're like, okay.
Yeah.
Did you ever hear the stories about David Lee Roth when he was hosting his radio show? Like, he demanded that the studio be filled with sand. So I heard that story somewhere before.
I bet Mitch has great stories regarding this from his days at the Loop, man.
Yeah.
You know, just like, hey, I'm gonna need this, I'm gonna need that. They're like, all right.
Well, I mean, okay. Terry, legend, right? Terry did a bunch of shows from home like that. He did that well before COVID.
Oh, years and years before COVID.
I mean, he was kind of a pioneer
when it was
not needing to come in.
The ISDN line. I remember hearing how much it was to install that high-end phone line at his house. I'm like, oh my God, really?
Yeah.
Can I pay rent for a year with that, please?
Yeah. I mean, Howard, Howard 3 days a week, Howard home studio, yes. Howard driver, Howard elevator.
Yeah, his elevator, so he can drive. It's an elevator for his car, so he can drive right into the elevator,
no.
And the elevator takes him up right to the studio.
That's what Caleb asked for. That's what Caleb asked for. I'd like a car elevator at Hollis Hall that I just get in, and it takes me right to my locker. But Caleb, the elevator, it would only go up and down the lockers. I don't care. Get that done. Get it done.
This isn't a contract perk, but it's probably the coolest radio power move that I've ever heard. Have you heard the story of Francesa on September 11th?
No.
Did he do it?
Didn't do it.
It would explain a lot.
But he did broadcast from the studios, and that attack happened at 9 in the morning, and he drove into Manhattan when you weren't allowed to get into Manhattan, and his driver was able to drive him in. Because
he was Mike Francesa.
Because they rolled down the window of the cars and the New York cops let Francesa in so he could get on the air that day.
Francesa and Julio?
Yeah, exactly. His driver Julio. The story I was told was Francesa rolled down the window in the back seat and said hello to the cop, and the cop let him in, and he was the only car that got into Manhattan that day. At that checkpoint. That's the story that I was told. It's pretty epic. It's a pretty epic story. So, you know.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're taking me back. I was producing the Mike Murphy and Fred Huebner show on the Score 1160 when that attack happened. And Murph was great. Murph was a total pro. And, you know, did live radio about that until we handed it off to CBS News Radio. And then Terry Bors was there for the next show. I think was it Bors and Bernstein doing middays? I think it was. And yeah. And I ended up, you know, sitting with Terry in a little side office watching on a very small TV. We watched the second tower get hit by a plane together. Me and Terry Bors watching that live coverage.
Crazy.
At the time.
Crazy.
So, you know, meanwhile, Mike Francesa is thinking, I got to get into the studio.
I got to get to work.
Got to get these takes
off.
That's
the story I was told. I don't know if it's true, but that's what I was told.
Who cares?
Yeah, right. Truth is, it really doesn't matter.
Yeah. So look, ask for stuff. Ask for stuff in a contract, folks.
You guys remember when Mac came back for afternoons and then his vocal cords collapsed on the first day? He asked for a slushy machine.
Danny, I was tasked with going to the 7-Eleven right there on Wabash and Lake to price out their slushy machine.
Folks, this is how I knew.
Wait a minute. Wait, you went to the 7-Eleven to ask
to see
how
if
much?
I could buy their slushy machine. Not like, hey, what do you guys, like, your vendors, what do you pay for that?
Oh,
as like
God.
A parent company, can we
Hold
buy
on.
This one?
As a voice professional who's had problems and seen a ton of doctors and knows a lot about the field, that is the dumbest idea to help fix a voice problem that I've ever heard of.
It's temporarily soothing.
And also mental.
That's what Mac wanted.
He thought that it helped. And folks, this is how you know I came in way too late and the best times are over. The old Mac, dangerous, he would have got that slushy machine.
He sure would have.
They would have made it happen no matter what.
That's true.
And they just never did.
Actually, pretty relevant. My girlfriend, who I haven't said what station, works in Chicago radio. She got them a margarita frozen machine in their office.
Hell yeah.
Last year, she got a double flavored margarita frozen machine.
The best days are over at AM
margarita
radio.
Machine.
But FM. They're still trying.
FM morning shows are doing.
We gotta send
this
segment to Mitch. We'll get a margarita machine.
Yeah, we will.
I'll get one by tomorrow if we really want one.
Do any of us even like margaritas? We'll end up getting one. We're all just like, yeah, they're fine.
Yeah, there's tequila in it, right?
Yeah. I'm a fan.
I love them.
I wonder if the annual Pro Bowl trip that Mac, Yurko, and Harry did was in the contract.
It wasn't.
That's the best. That's the best annual trip ever.
It is.
The football season's over. Let's go to the Pro Bowl in Maui.
There's a radio row. We gotta be there.
I'm convinced Mac stuck around here because he thought maybe the Pro Bowl would be going back to Hawaii.
Yeah.
Instead, they moved it to Florida, and he was like, no, you know, maybe we'll get down there. No.
Well, look, I mean, think about it. Think about all the broadcasters who do that, who eventually get enough power to write their own ticket. Vin Scully first stopped doing a certain amount of games east of Colorado. And then he only did games in the state of California.
Big state.
And then he only did home games. I mean, it's like you just, as you age and you are a made guy, you can do what you need to do.
And Hawk only did road games.
Which strangest thing ever.
Which is really weird. What was that? Like, was he lived closer to the airport or something?
Something like that.
It was something very
strange. Because he lived in South Bend, so he didn't want to drive to Chicago for the home games. But the road games is easier for him to get to the airport. I don't know, man.
That was the weirdest thing. Hawks last like season or two, he just did road games and Cubs socks. It was so strange. Yeah,
it's a crazy, crazy thing.
Well, maybe I'll ask for something ridiculous.
Yeah,
in the next contract.
Yeah, you should.
What, like respect?
Yeah,
they don't.
That's what the paycheck's for.
They don't give that away anymore.
Yeah, again,
that's also changed in the business. Yeah,
it's a different era of radio. Don't know if you've been paying attention. We got categories coming up in 20 minutes. Parkinson Spiegel on the Score.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show,
doing it and doing it and doing it.
Afternoons on the Score.
We had a great guest on, and he talked about the player wants
Andrew
all the money.
Brandt, right?
Andrew Brandt, yep, wants all the money now, and the team wants defer, 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 defer.
Dude, when I heard that this morning, defer, 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 defer. But the way he said it, defer, 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 defer. It was the Swedish chef from the old Muppet Show. It was just so spot
and
on.
The team wants defer, 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 defer.
You can learn my swirly hotty potty. He who pung a swirly doggy into the potty.
Chef, chef,
oh, come over to the pig.
And the team wants defer, 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 defer.
I just.
It's pretty good.
Oh my God. That's pretty good. I was driving and I just started giggling to myself. Because I think that's the one word. If you had to pick one word in the English language and just repeat and sound like the Swedish chef, it would be defer.
Defer, 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 defer. Defer, 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 defer.
You can learn my swirly hotty potty.
Defer, 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 defer.
Defer.
Thank you.
Why'd they go to Sweden, by the way? Not good food. They just boil everything like the Irish.
It's just the accent. I think it was the accent alone.
That makes sense, too.
All that chef's doing is boiling anyway. The videos that I watched today, the chicken in the pot, the pig in the pot. Like that, I think that's kind of, is it like next level humor right there? Like that's all the chef does is boil.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The Swedish food sucks because all they do is boil it.
I think that's all that the puppet could do. You know, I mean, the puppet.
Fair. Yeah, he had limited range.
Yeah, the muppet couldn't saute.
Yeah, I mean,
no opposable thumb.
He might catch, but
yeah, right, exactly.
He could.
My chicken worked out beautifully last night, by the way. Thank you, Shane.
Oh yeah, did it?
Yeah, absolutely beautiful.
You pounded it out thin.
Just
a little sear on it.
Yeah, just you got a little sear in the cast iron with the butter. Just kind of spooning the butter over like I would a fillet or a steak. Yeah,
love it.
Delightful.
Love it.
We have an answer from our leader. Mitch Rosen.
Yeah, I asked him. He said, don't spring that on me.
Like, he thought of one for best perk or craziest perk story in a contract.
Oh, good.
An on-air host wanted a red convertible
Dan
in his
Bernstein.
New deal.
Yeah, it's Bernstein, yeah.
I provided one through sales. He had it for a year. When he turned it in, he left a $7,000 repair receipt because the car was in an accident and he didn't disclose. That was fun with the client. One of his kids got in an accident.
Dan Hampton.
I don't know.
I know. The
drop it, dude. Drop the name.
I cannot do that.
Yeah. Say it wasn't Hamp and we'll move on and we'll say
it wasn't
names.
It wasn't Hamp and we'll leave it at that. But he asked for a specific red convertible. That's amazing.
Barry Rosner.
That is a legendary story, though. That's that goes
that's
way
good
back.
To have fun with names.
I agree, Pat. It goes way back. Pat, do you think we're doing a nice job? Specifically me? I mean, I feel pretty good. Very good, Matt. Thank you. I was just hoping for that.
I mean, how quick do you think Tanny is?
That's not on my big board.
So on the big board. Yeah,
if Wani were back here pressing the buttons, he would have found it.
But yeah.
Hey, Shane, what color's mine?
How about that story? the host leaves the $7,000 repair receipt in the glove compartment.
And, smug.
And the car dealership is like, oh, so you crashed this car and then got it fixed. That's interesting. This is a detailed receipt, too. Yeah, we're going to need to deal with this.
How was Wani at the not steakhouse last night that he was expecting? Was he well behaved?
I mean, yeah, he was very well behaved.
Okay, good.
He ate. He had a couple beers. Like, they asked us, hey, it's a friends and family. It's a new spot. Highline, by the way, Kinsey and Wells over there by the Merch Mart. It's like a arcade bar / pizza bar. Same recipe pizza as Rinaldi's, same owners, but it's cracker crust, so it's a little bit thinner. They brought some of the old ovens. I went back into the kitchen last night from Rinaldi's and put it into Highline, so you're getting the same kind of quality. But they asked us to get cocktails, and Wani's like, no, I'm getting beer. Because they wanted to test the new bartenders, right? So Wani is the only one from the group of people who broke from what they asked us to do, and he got his beer.
Oh, Dave Wani's
a cocktail guy.
He can do whatever he wants.
I thought he was, too. I mean, he asks us to make him cocktails all the time.
Including yesterday.
I thought it'd be no problem. Wani will get a cocktail. No, beers.
Okay.
His wife, Jan, though, spicy margarita lady. She enjoyed hers.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, she got cocktails.
Lovely.
Yeah, it was a nice night. Very nice night. It's always nice to see Wani in public.
Yeah.
Just to see how he deals with just regulars.
Sure.
Like normies.
Because we're not normies.
I don't think so. Not to him.
Sure.
Yeah. Just it's you. Nice to see him at like restaurants.
Do people freak out when they recognize it as Dave Wanstead?
So,
does he have any of that?
A couple times last night, I saw people walk by the table and do double takes.
Yeah.
Like they look at him or they look at Pat Manley.
Or Tanny.
Like,
yeah, it was me because I was like, wow, we're at dinner with Dave Wanstead right now. You know? So it's still kind of weird.
Yeah.
It is weird.
Yeah. It's like, you see people walk into the bathroom, like look at him, and then like they walk 5 feet and then look back, like, I just see Dave Wanstead, the guy who replaced Mike Ditka.
Oh yeah, dude. That's the thing. Like, I remember being tanked after we ate at Boulevard last time.
Yeah.
And me and him shared an Uber. And I'm like, yep.
Oh yeah.
Just, you know, sharing an Uber with the guy who Ricky Williams walked away from camp from.
Speaking of Wani and Uber, Tanny had to show him how to drop a pin on Uber last night, and we were trying to take a nice picture in front of the restaurant, like me, Tanny, Wani, and Manly. And there might be six pictures that were taken. Every single one is Wani pointing to Jan. Jan, that's our Uber.
I gotta say, I was a pretty lucky boy last night. Shane was on the wives and girlfriends end of the table.
I was
between Wani and Pat.
Oh, yeah.
So we were talking ball all night. I was special teaming it up.
I was special teaming it up all during the week.
They were talking a lot. You know.
Pat, you were ready for that one, huh?
Yeah, Pat was. Thank you. Yeah, Pat was talking
very
about,
very good,
you know,
Tanny. Thank you.
The new kickoff rules, and him and Wani are bouncing ideas around. And Pat said, you know, you're talking to guys like Tabor and Dave Tobe, and the consensus so far is like none of these guys really know until they get out there.
Amazing.
That's the segment I want to do with Manly, though. Like, we should do that. Like, throw some of the ideas that I've heard at him, things that have been, like, coaches have kind of floated a little bit, see if he thinks that they're feasible. I think that's a very good tomorrow or pre-training camp segment because he knows all the special teams.
Yeah, they were just, their gears were spinning.
That's a great one for tomorrow, actually.
Yeah.
Shane, do you have a number for Pat, Manly? Well, Tanny, you were sitting
there. I'll
next
find a way
to
get a hold of him.
Tanny, you were sitting there.
I'll probably be golfing. I'll probably be playing 36.
He is golfing tomorrow.
Yeah, see?
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, he'll not do the show and make me feel bad about it for asking.
I have
perfect.
Yeah.
I have a text thread with Jay Zawoski and Nick Shepkowski and Pat Manley. It's because that was the old Spiegel and Manley show. And but now that thread has turned into a road game review where each one of us, if we ever use a toilet on the road away from home, we'll share a picture from the perspective of the toilet. You know, not of what we've done, but
that
from
poor toilet.
From the
sure,
throne.
Never, I'm sure.
Never,
yeah.
never. But from the throne, and talk about where we are and what the accommodations are. We are reviewing road game destinations for each other.
How often does Pat initiate text in this thread?
Very rarely.
Okay, that's kind of how I would imagine
But he
it.
Does get involved and shared something recently about his recent trip to Japan. He shared some context.
They talked about that last night, too, at dinner.
Stuck with them.
Yeah, apparently, there are bidets everywhere in
Every
Japan.
Every toilet in Japan is equipped with a bidet.
And then Jan starts talking about like Dave's first time using a bidet.
Wow.
See, that's the stuff I'm sad I missed.
Yeah,
actually, I have audio of that.
Whoa. Yeah, man. That will, you know.
That'll surprise you.
That'll make an impression
on
you.
First time.
Yeah, like, oh, hello there. Using the whole fist there, Doc?
We had the Rose Bowl. I had two sets of keys to condos in Palm Desert in my house at USC.
We were treated like movie stars with muscle. We had it all just for the asking. I had paper bags filled with jewelry stashed in the kitchen. Anything I wanted was a phone call away. Free cars, the keys to a dozen hideout flats all over the city.
I got to take this call. It's Johnny Carson. He just got a DUI and I got to handle it.
Why is Dave Wanstedt the one handling Johnny Carson's DUI?
He wasn't. That was just
the PR guy.
Yeah, of course. I know. Thank you. Thank you for saying the quiet part out loud.
God.
It's perfect.
Amazing.
Pat casually drops. Hey, you know who's a good guy who I ran into on the golf course? Who, Pat? Paul Konerko.
He's a good guy.
Yeah, good
We've
guy.
We've heard that too, yeah. Coach. That man's life.
Yeah,
I mean, Danny, you said it. Anybody who missed it yesterday, it was just an incredible story about Wani in New Orleans being convinced over hurricanes at Pat O'Brien's to take the job as the defensive coordinator at the University of Miami with Jimmy Johnson.
Who are also the Hurricanes.
Yeah, and to leave USC and go to Miami. A tough call, but he made that choice and called his wife from a payphone at midnight. And after that segment, you and me are just talking during the break, and Danny, you said, it's amazing how long we've known Dave Wanstedt. He's still able to pull a story like that out that none of us have heard or knew an inkling of.
Yeah, because, I mean,
what an incredible life.
Thousands of days of his life were just days, but all of them to people like us are incredible stories because of the winning, the celebrity, the power, the interactions, the money, the fact that there weren't cameras around for all of it. So it's like smoking cigarettes with players on the U before the national championship game. Like, that's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
It just sounds like a completely different era.
And just a beloved guy by every coaching staff he's ever been on and by the players. So people have told him stuff and shared good times with him. Just an incredible asset for the radio station, that's for sure. Is he going to be there tomorrow morning at the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Studio, live and in person?
That's the plan.
That's awesome. With the morning show with Mully and
And they're willing to announce that Olin's going to be there, Wani's going to be there, and Shane still won't tell you and me who the other in-person guest is going to be.
All right, let's run through the names of people who have you guys blocked on Twitter. So
Doug Gottlieb's going to be there?
Yep, Doug will be there.
Wow.
Greg Gabriel's
going to be there?
Wow.
Barack Obama. And Brad Biggs.
Oh.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Oh, man. Do you get to hear that in person?
It's exciting.
He's going to talk football with you.
There should be a live
He's a loyal
version.
Friend.
There should be a live version. Russ and the band should be there doing a live
the
version.
The band AC/DC?
Whoever you need.
Well, that's the instrumental.
Dustin can get them.
The on XRT version, the on the score version of, you know, Morning Boys, what's going on?
Yeah.
Things open.
That's
I'm sorry
tremendous.
I'm going to miss that.
Sure you are.
I'll tune in.
Shane, you going to go?
Yeah, I'm going to go. I'm going to be there.
Good. Would you talk to Brad and tell him that it's all love and have him unblock us?
I don't know if he wants to talk to me either. I think I'm a direct association of you guys. He doesn't have me blocked
yet, but
I'll try something tomorrow.
All right. That sounds
talk a little baseball with Brad. Big baseball guy.
Yeah.
Tanny is our host this week for categories. So Shane, no cheating. As you can see the screen, you got a tunnel vision over there. We play the game next on the score.
Tanny does tremendous job with everything he touches.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
And here's the controversy. Listen, we love fun, right?
Afternoons on the score.
So I think it's time to play the game.
We're playing the game?
Yes. We're playing the game.
Do we have to play the game?
What's the game?
The game is categories. Today, Tanny is the host. The three of us will play. Hopefully, one of us wins two of three. We go round and around, naming as many things in whatever the category is as we can to last man standing win the category. Tanny.
Hello, men. How you guys doing? You guys all right?
Yeah, we're good. Wow. We're good. Ready to go. Yeah.
Have you noticed, Shane, how are you? You didn't answer.
Yeah, no, I'm looking for a new car. Anybody help me out? Maybe a red Corvette?
You crashed the convertible?
All right. Moving on. You guys notice this All-Star game's been in the news this week?
Yeah, I've heard about that.
Noticed that? Baseball, right?
Calling your shot.
So, speaking of your guy, Jarren Duran became the 56th man to win All-Star game MVP last night. Who are the others?
Oh, my God.
Danny, as per the rules and your contract.
God, this sucks.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
There's a bunch of weird names on here, but there's some notable ones.
Yeah, let's All-Star Game MVP.
They're all All-Stars. There's that little clue
for you. Yeah, let's say...
they're playing the game?
Let's say that Ichiro is an All-Star MVP.
Indeed, 2007.
I'm going to go with Elias Diaz from last year.
Last year. That's one of the weird ones. You're right.
Hmm. Shane Bieber.
Absolutely. 2019. Shane for Shane.
Wow. Let's go with Robinson Cano.
Don't you know? 2017. Very good, Danny.
Thank you.
I'm going to go with Willie Mays.
Yeah, that's a... Let me check my list here. Oh, yeah. He did it twice. 1963 and 1968.
Someone I was trying to book yesterday because he won the MVP the year the White Sox hosted, Garrett Anderson, who also won the Home Run Derby that year.
Yeah.
Look at you.
That's fun. That's
2003.
It's a fun fact. Let's go with Cal Ripken Jr.
Indeed. Cal Ripken Jr. twice, 1991 and 2001, 10 years apart.
Hmm. How about Mariano Rivera? Mariano Rivera.
Absolutely. 2013.
Another obscure one, Tanny, because you brought him up earlier. Brian McCann.
Absolutely.
Wow.
2010.
We're killing it. He said right before they all missed.
This is going horribly.
Let's go with Ken Griffey Jr.
Yeah, Ken Griffey Jr. 1992.
I'm going to go with Henry Aaron. Henry Aaron.
Also known as Hank, I think. Tanny, maybe it might be Hank in your list.
Oh, actually, yeah, let me check. Yeah, actually, no.
Ah!
Wow.
I'd assume Mike Trout has won an All-Star MVP.
Yeah, he is one of the handful of guys who has done it multiple times. Back-to-back years, in fact, 2014, 2015 for Mike Trout.
Okay.
Henry Aaron was a guest, for anybody who doesn't know that. But I think he probably did. I'm out. That's there.
Are they all guesses?
Are you tanking this to keep it moving?
No.
Okay.
Alex Rodriguez.
No. Mm. No A-Rod.
One more from Shane for the category.
I got the list right here in front of me, Shane. Can you read bold type?
I'm not looking over there.
He's looking straight ahead.
Got to be a pitcher. Let's go someone like a strikeout pitcher. Didn't Pedro Martinez have one of the best All-Star performances of all time as a pitcher? Pedro Martinez had to have won MVP that year.
Indeed he did. That was the year Ron Coomer was an All-Star, 1999.
That's all awesome.
Right, good job, Shane.
Pedro struck out, I think, 5 2 innings.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
There's a bunch of weird names on here, but we don't really have time.
So the only reason I know that, because Pedro was a pitcher in the celebrity softball game also, and they talked about that.
Good pull.
Did you see when he got charged, when they charged the mound on Pedro? And
the Kid Mero.
Yeah, it was funny.
Yeah, it was very funny.
By the way, Pedro Martinez, dream guest for me, Shane, if you could work on
it. I tried today. Yeah.
And you stopped trying.
I love that guy.
You tried in the past.
I'm always trying. The dream is bad. As early as this morning, I've tried.
All right, moving along here. We are baseball heavy today. Sorry, Danny.
It's okay.
It's our week for our game. Wouldn't you say so, Speaks?
Yes.
It's a fast-paced game.
Today is the anniversary of Carlton Fisk doing this in 1989.
Runner going up the middle, and there it is! Carlton Fisk gets his 2,000th hit. He becomes the 173rd Major League player to do it.
Pudge, the original recipe, was obviously wearing a White Sox uniform when he collected his 2,000th hit. 70 men have worn a Cubs or Sox uniform and have at least 2,000 hits in the big leagues. Who are they?
Wow!
70? They've been a Cubs or Sox at any point.
Yep.
Not when they got the 2,000.
Correct.
Hit. Okay, got it.
That's incredible. I'm first here. I'll go Billy Williams.
Absolutely.
Harold Baines.
Evidently.
Ernie Banks.
Absolutely.
2,000 hits. Paul Konerko got to 2,000 hits.
Yep.
Jim Thome.
Yep.
Ron Santo.
Yep.
Frank Thomas.
Absolutely.
Andre Dawson.
Yes. You guys are going so fast here. Good job.
Dun, 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 dun.
I said you guys are going so fast here. Keep going. Keep it moving.
Sammy Sosa.
No, did someone say? No, yeah. Sammy's on the list.
Yeah, yeah. Sammy's on the list. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, how about Mark Grace?
Yep, Mark Grace is on there.
Roberto Alomar.
He is
on
there.
Oh, that's sneaky.
Yeah.
That's sneaky.
Nomar?
No, no 2,000 hits for Nomar.
Oh, wow.
I would have thought he was.
That's a good guess, right?
Yeah, no.
That's a reasonable guess.
That is not an awful guess.
Thank you.
I'll go with Ken Griffey Jr. in the spirit of the Roberto Alomar guess.
Yeah. My next one is similar.
Yeah.
Manny Ramirez.
Oh, of course. Yeah, good job.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a yes and yes?
Yes, yes.
On those two?
Although I may have to fact check Ken Griffey Jr., but we'll keep it moving.
I don't know
if he ever had 2,000.
Really?
I did do these lists manually and you put them in alphabetical order so we can expedite the process.
Dude had 600 homers. He had to have 2,000.
He did.
Okay, yeah.
2780.
Yeah.
Wild. 600 homers, 1,400 singles. Good for him. He ended right at 2,000. You're up, Speed.
I think I forgot he was a White Sox, actually. I think that's where the error comes
in. Yeah. 2780.
How about Eddie Collins? Let me go with Eddie Collins.
Yes, the Danny Parkins lookalike, Eddie Collins.
Andrew Jones.
Ooh.
Has to be. Guy played for 96 years.
Yeah, not on my list, but again.
Can you fact check Andrew Jones on that?
Yeah,
I think so. That's a yes.
Sorry about the fact checking, guys.
I forgot that Andrew Jones was even here.
We said it was a very ambitious list here. Yeah.
No, Andrew Jones, 1933.
Whoa! That's garbage.
All right. And Nomar, over 1,700, but not there.
One more for me. How about Juan Pierre?
Yeah, played for both teams.
Yes, he did.
All right, what about Kenny Lofton? I know I'm out, but Kenny Lofton?
Yeah, Kenny Lofton.
Sure. Kenny Lofton
damn good, it!
But you're out. I got one, Pierre.
So cute.
All right, yeah, you got to try to get a little cute.
All right.
All right, we got 2 minutes to do one more.
Fun category.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
The fun doesn't stop there, guys.
I love what Teddy is.
We've been talking a lot about video games this week, specifically EA Sports College Football returned on Monday after a 10-year hiatus.
Yeah.
Playing the Iron Bowl in the middle of it right now. I got the fourth quarter when I get home. it's the unifier, this game. Some games break through on the cultural level. I have a list of the top 25 highest grossing video games of all time.
Wow.
What are they?
So these are not arcade games. These are
console games, yes.
Incredible. Shane, you're first.
So Nintendo, Xbox, PlayStation.
Are we talking about franchise or individual games?
Individual games.
All right, so Call of Duty Modern Warfare.
Yeah, $30 million, Call of Duty.
Oh, wow. Okay, so right. So you wouldn't say...
You wouldn't just say Call of Duty.
That's a specific...
Yeah.
So because, Madden is not an answer. Right.
Right.
Okay.
And I might be out on the one. I never played video games.
Madden football is not an answer?
It was... No.
Because they're saying one game.
Oh,
wow. A specific game, yeah.
So like Madden 2005 or... You know what I mean? Like, yeah. So... Okay. GoldenEye?
No. No GoldenEye.
How about Grand Theft Auto?
But would it be more specific?
Yeah, right, exactly.
Grand Theft Auto, the first edition.
No.
All right, so
Grand Theft Auto 5 would be the second highest grossing game ever at $200 million.
Yeah.
All right, so Super Smash Brothers.
I know, that's where I was going to go.
Yeah, $34
million. Should have done that.
Nice job, Shane.
All right, I'll take two.
What are some of the other top ones, just out of curiosity?
Diablo 3, Duck Hunt.
Duck Hunt!
Yeah, Duck Hunt still killing it. $28 million.
That's outrageous.
What about like Galaga?
No, one that's big in my house, Human Fall Flat.
How about Fortnite?
Fortnite, no.
Not yet, right?
But the other one,
Roblox?
Minecraft?
Yeah, Minecraft is number one at $300 million.
Oh,
yeah,
I get it.
Red Dead Redemption 2 is up there.
That's what you get for giving Ruben your credit card on the machine.
I know.
$300 million. That's where all your money went.
Charged up $300
million. Other notable ones here, the original Tetris, $48 million. The original Super Mario Brothers, $58
million. Wow.
And Mario Kart for the Wii, $37
million. Oh, man. Yeah, there's so many easy ones. I went Grand Theft Auto, I was sure, but...
Well, I mean, it's not a terrible guess. One of them's on there.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of great Bears audio that is coming from unusual places, and I think it's a sign of things to come. It's next on The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.